chapter number 10. I'm between messages this morning, if you can't tell. I'm hesitating, and I don't know just exactly which way. I've got two different messages the Lord's given us, and I just may preach them both. That'll be all right. Well, I did not get one amen. Lord's going to have to help me this morning. I guess the Lord will have to say amen. No, I wasn't going to read this. I felt like the Lord wanted us to go over into the book of Judges and the book of Samuel, and we will get there. I believe that's what the Lord wants us to do, is go over there here in just a minute. But this is kind of different, and God has really burdened my heart with this last night in Matthew chapter 10. And I was going to kind of just go over in, like I said, over in Judges and not read this, but Chad made a statement there, and he's standing here just a minute ago, kind of give me a little bit of confirmation on what I needed to do. And I really want to be very careful in what I'm going to say right here, okay? Well, I appreciate how God's been blessing our church. Revival, I believe, is running rampant in our church. I say glory to God, amen. God's been saving souls. God's been helping folk. And I say praise God for it. I really do. And we come here on Mother's Day sometimes, and we really focus on mothers, and I think we should. I think we ought to say thank you to all of our mothers. I love my mother to death, and boy, she's going to get a crown about that big when she gets to heaven. I mean, she put up with three boys, and then she put up with my daddy. She's going to have a big crown. Say amen. And so I love my mom. Really do appreciate her, and we should honor our mothers. And got a dear little grandmother, done gone on to be the Lord about a year ago. She's over there. Thank you for that song, brother. I needed that. She's over there praying for me today. Amen. And she ain't praying. She's talking straight. Amen. She don't have to pray. So I appreciate that. But I thought about this in the scripture in Matthew chapter number 10. God gave me this last night, verse number 32. And we'll read a few verses here. Then I'm going to go over into Judges over there. And this scripture, I'll be honest with you, has just jumped out the page at me, thinking about what's the gospel going to do? What's the gospel going to do down here? And you know, we think about a lot of times the gospel brings peace. And it does. The gospel will bring peace in your soul. If you're here and you're lost this morning, I'll promise you the only peace that you'll ever find is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only gospel that you'll ever find. You'll not find it anywhere else. You listen to me very closely. Everybody look this way. You'll not find any peace anywhere else in this world. You'll not find it in alcohol. You'll not find it in drugs. You'll not find it in pornography. You'll not find it in all these evil things out there. You will not find peace in those things, okay? The only place you will find peace is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Otherwise, you're going to be miserable. Otherwise, there is going to be no joy at all in your heart, okay? Let's just establish that first up. And you will find that peace in your heart. But you listen to me this morning. The peace that we have is only in our heart. Jesus Christ did not bring peace and will not bring peace to this earth. It will not happen until he comes back again. He didn't bring it when he came on the cross, okay? He didn't bring it when he came down here. Listen, we got it in our hearts because we have been saved and we're born again and we're headed for a place called heaven, amen? And there's coming a day, one of these days, when Jesus is going to come back and there is going to be peace on this earth, amen? Thank God for that day. Somebody say glory, hallelujah right there, amen? Thank God for that. When he have that millennial reign, son, they're going to be peace, amen? Like you ain't never experienced, amen? But right now, the gospel does not bring peace in this world. You know what it does? It brings separation. Amen. It brings separation. You're looking at me like a calf in the new gate, okay? I'm going somewhere with this. I got scripture to back this up. Look with me in verse number 32, and I'll show you what I'm talking about here. He says here, and I'm just going to read this. I'll not have you stand. We'll stand here in just a minute. I just feel like God's really burdened our heart with this here. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. You underline that in your Bible. That's what I just said. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Are you still reading out of the same King James Bible I am? Okay, I believe I'm still on target, amen. Verse number 36. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You say, preacher, why in the world would you read that? Because God told me to, okay? We read in this scripture here, and my thought has been this this morning. Mother's Day and Father's Day both are great, and we should honor our mother and our father. The Bible says that in the scriptures over there. That's actually one of the Ten Commandments, that we honor our father and our mother. But if you honor your father and your mother more than you do God, you're missing the mark. If you do, the Bible says right here, he deny you. Amen. That's what he said in the scripture. So I want to caution us today. Yes, let's honor our mothers today, but more than anything, let's honor him. Amen. Let's honor God today. Amen. Because again, as Chad said, without God, we have no mothers. Amen. Without him, we have nothing. Now listen, you may have come this morning and you may have said, well, I better go to church with mom today. Well, that's good. I appreciate it and I'm glad you did. But you need to come to church for another reason. Amen. Amen. You need to come to church because you want to worship the Father. Amen. You want to worship Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the reason we should be coming to the house of God this morning. Amen. I wondered, I thought about this, Brother Doug, as I got up this morning and began to study this. I wondered in my mind and I thought in my heart and in my mind, I thought how many people today will come in the house of God and a preacher will get up and talk about moms all day. He'll get up and talk about moms and dads and everything and never mention the name Jesus. Right. Amen. Women, I love you. Mothers, I love you. I do. I ain't going to preach on mothers. I'm going to preach on Jesus. Amen. We're going to point them to Jesus. Amen. And listen, if this falls out, if you say disagree with me, that's fine. Take that scripture up right there. Amen. That's exactly what's happening. If you notice there in that scripture that I read to you, he said, I'm not come, said a man at variance. He said, I'm come, said a man at variance against his father and daughter, against her mother and daughter-in-law, against her mother-in-law. In other words, there'll be a separation there. Preacher, you mean that if the gospel brings separation, you better believe him. Amen. That gospel will bring that separation because you know what it does? It brings that conviction in that heart. Amen. It brings that conviction in that home where it's at. Amen. I thank God for my home. Amen. And when they all get saved in the home, you know what it brings? It brings peace. Thank God. Amen. But listen, we need to understand today that this gospel, it ain't going to bring peace. Amen. It ain't going to bring peace. It will bring a variance. He said there's going to be a sword coming. Amen. There'll be conviction in that Bible. I spent the other day about 45 minutes at the office there, on the clock, by the way. But anyway, I kind of checked out there, but 45 minutes I spent talking to someone about this Bible and about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was a very passionate discussion, okay? He looked at me one time and he said, preacher, I don't mean to make you mad. I said, you ain't making me mad. I'm just passionate about it, okay? Well, when you go going against the Word of God and going against my Savior, I'm very passionate about it, okay? I'm going to be standing up speaking that, but it brought a variance there, and that's what the gospel will do. I got news for you. Listen to me very closely right here this morning. In somebody's heart, the gospel is bringing a variance. In somebody's heart this morning, the gospel is moving in there, and you've got a wrestling, as I preached about last Sunday, you've got a wrestling going on in your heart between your flesh and Jesus Christ, okay? Between your flesh and the Holy Ghost trying to draw you to an old-fashioned altar, between your flesh and the conviction there is a variance there that's going on in your life, and that variance is called the gospel, amen? That's exactly what it's called. It's called the gospel. And he said, preacher, I ain't never heard anybody preach like this on a Mother's Day. Well, I don't guess you have, but God give us that, okay? We need to understand this morning, it ain't about mothers and it ain't about fathers. It's about Him, amen? Again, you need to honor your mother and you need to honor your father. And by the way, if you only do it on Mother's Day and Father's Day, shame on you. Amen. Shame on you. Amen. You ought to do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Amen. I believe we ought to do it constantly. But I do believe this. I believe we ought to give God the glory for it all. Amen. Mothers and fathers alike, we should give God the glory. Amen. Agree with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Well, that was free. It didn't cost you a thing. Okay. Turn with me to the book of Judges, chapter number chapter number 21 and verse number 25. Judges chapter number 21, verse number 25. I really feel like that's what God wanted us to do. I feel like I've minded the Lord. Appreciate Brother Chad saying what he said. That just gave me confirmation I needed to do that. I sat back there a minute ago. I'm going to be honest with you, church. I've been scared slapped down to death today. Yesterday, I looked at my wife yesterday morning, and I was kind of quiet. We went out, and I took her out for dinner and supper, and fed her all day. Amen. Spent the day together. We did, and I got kind of quiet. And she said, what's the matter? She said, is there something wrong? And I said, no. I said, I just kind of got the message on my mind. I said, with the way Jesus is moving, the way the Holy Ghost is moving, and the way revival is going, I said, I'm scared slapped out to death. I'll be honest with you. I'm nervous about trying to make sure I'm where God wants us to be. Church, we ought to be that way. Amen. And I hope this, as your pastor, I feel that way today. That I need to be right exactly where God wants us to be, and it's so important to be there. But listen, as members, you need to be the same way, amen. You need to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, amen, this morning, so I do believe that. Stand with us, if you will, for the reading of God's Word, Judges chapter 21 and verse number 12. Judges chapter 21 and, verse number 25. I'll get this right. The devil's trying his best to defeat me this morning, but it ain't going to happen, okay? We're going to trust in the Lord. We're going to preach on. Judges chapter 21 and verse number 25. The Bible says here, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I don't know about you, but I look and I say, oh, God help him. Amen. That's all I can say is, oh, God help him. We read in the scripture here that this is probably one of the darkest days in Israel's history. I use that statement a lot because Israel gets in places where they get themselves in famine, they get themselves in darkness, they get themselves in troubles. I like what Brother David Shelton said the other day. They're bound to be descendants of Baptists. Amen. That's where we get a lot of times. Amen. But as I read here, I find a nation that needs revival. Would you agree with me? Say amen.
Amen.
I find a nation that has turned their backs on God. They're not listening to God. They don't even have a man of God to listen to. And they are in a place that they need revival. Amen. I had no idea when I left here Friday night that this morning I was going to be preaching on revival, preaching a revival message. But that's what God laid upon my heart this morning, early in the morning as we began to study this, was about a revival, a nation that needs a revival. Amen. That's exactly what we see right here. All right, look with me, if you will, 1 Samuel, just one book over. We find that Ruth is in there between Judges and Samuel. But turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to look about verse number 12. We're going to show you how bad this place is, how bad Israel, the condition, I guess you'd say, that Israel is. It's chapter 2, verse number 12. We'll get scriptures right here in just a minute. I've got about 5 million scriptures trying to pull them all together. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 12. And the sons of Eli, which was the priest there, remember that, were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. These were the men that were actually inside the temple doing the priestly duties, and they didn't even know the Lord. These were men of Belial there, and they were worthless men, the Bible says. They were just rascals, if you will, if you'll let me put it that way. They were ungodly. They were still in the church house, or if you will, in the temple there, that were doing things, doing the priestly duties. 1 Samuel chapter 3, jump with me just one chapter over, verse number 1 through 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. I thought, wow. word of the Lord is precious. In other words, there wasn't nobody speaking. There wasn't no Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniels. There wasn't no leaders. There wasn't no judges, Samsons, or any of them that would step out. No Moses, no Joshua's that would step out and lead the people. They were just like kind of a, I guess you'd say, a group of sheep or a flock of sheep that were just wandering astray everywhere where they were at. Look with us on down verse 2. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in this place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. What a sad time when the lamp of God goes out in the temple. What a sad time when that lamp dies and the light is not shining. Thank you, Lord. Whew, thank God. Did you notice the light back on being out? Notice how dim it is. I wanted a minute ago, and I came out, and as we came out of their study back there, pulled it, come out in here. I thought, wow, maybe that's the reason everybody seemed kind of asleep this morning. Everybody seems kind of like they're in a daze this morning. You reckon it because the light's not burning? You know that's what happens when the light goes out in the house of God. Everybody be kind of in a daze. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want light to go out in the house of God. Amen. I don't want that to happen, okay? Let's read on. Chapter number 4, verse number 11, if you will. I'll get to the message here in just a minute, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 11. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Wow, what a statement. The ark of God was stolen by the Philistines, taken away out of the house of God. Read on down with me in chapter number 4, verse 21, 22. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." She said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Sad times. Horrible times. Would you agree with me? Say amen. Amen. Horrible times in the nation of Israel. I look at this scripture, and I think in my mind, I think, Lord, they need revival. But you know why I get to thinking about it? I wonder if I ain't reading out of a newspaper today. I wonder if I ain't reading that right off maybe the Fox News or the CNN News, and I read it off a screen there, news. It almost seems like that's where we're at today. Say amen. Would you agree with me? I believe our nation needs revival. Would you agree with me? Say amen. I believe our state needs revival. Agree with me? Say amen. I believe our homes need revival. I believe our churches need revival. I believe we need revival. Amen. Every single one of us today, we need revival. And I preached along these lines before, but I've never brought it out this way, okay? We need revival. Preacher, what's it going to take to give us revival? Preacher, what's going to have to happen in order for us to turn back to God, in order for revival to happen? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look back with me in 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I want to give you the title of the message. I give you all that to give you the title of the message. A Barren Mother, a Vessel of Revival. A Barren Mother, a Vessel of Revival. You know what happened in chapter number 5 and 6 over there? I'm not going to read it. We'll get all over in a minute. You know what happened over there? Samuel was born. Samuel stepped out, and Samuel was the leader that God had put in that place, and Samuel was the one that took Israel a little farther and put them back on the right track, and there was a revival. Amen. And Samuel judged them 40 years, and they listened to him for 40 years there, and Samuel was the one that led them back. Amen. But where did it start, preacher? It started all the way back from a barren mother. Started all the way back from a woman that got burdened because she didn't have a son. It started all the way back from a woman that got burdened in her heart. Just wanting a man child. Just wanting somebody. Just wanting a child. And that's where it started from. Look with me, chapter number 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of, I ain't about to try to pronounce that, so you pronounce it when you go home, okay? Of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zupha, and Ephraimai. We'll just say who he is, okay? And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, as two rascals, the priests of the Lord were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Let's pray. Father, come again thanking you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your long-suffering. Thank you for the good Holy Spirit we feel this morning. Thank you for the leadership, Lord, you give us. Thank you, Lord, for your help already. Father, I stand in a great need right now. You know that. Father, I need your help. I can do nothing without you. You're the only one that can do anything, Father. And I pray, dear God, this morning that your power and your spirit would come down upon us like it never has before. May this be the greatest message we've ever preached, Lord, I pray. Oh, may the power of God and the presence of God come upon the scene today. God, help us, I pray, to say everything we should, but nothing we shouldn't. Lord, I ask God that you take the word of God, that it go out in the hearts of your people, that it find a lodging place and bring forth repentance. Lord, we pray. Have your will and your way. Thank you for the reading of your word. Use it for your glory and your honor, Lord. And we'll give you praise that you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. We want to look here in this scripture, and I laid all this scripture out for you because I felt like we need to get really to the place where we need to realize that Israel needs revival. Now, I want to say this to you before I go any farther. I realize that Hannah here was not necessarily burdened for Israel, but that she was burdened because she had no son, okay? She had nobody to carry on the family lineage, if you will. I guess you could say it that way. But I do believe in the background that the Lord was taking and giving Israel revival by this woman. I thought about this so much as I began to dig into this. And Brother Jim, I began to think about in my heart how that as we look at this scripture here, God's working in the background. God's using this little girl, Hannah, there. He's using her in the background. She's just being faithful. She's going to the house of God with her husband every year, once a year, to do like she's supposed to do according to the scriptures there, to go and do the sacrifices and go and do all the things that they're supposed to do to worship. And she's doing that every year. I believe she's faithful to her husband. Amen. I believe she's just following God's word, okay? But yet this woman has no son. As I look here, I think in my mind about what a burden that would be on her heart and what that would cause a feeling inside of her. And now listen to me. Back then in those days, that could be her livelihood, okay? The woman back then really couldn't hold a job. They couldn't really provide for themselves. So she needed a son that when Elkanah there died off, they would carry on, okay? So we see that. But I thought about how that God was raising up a man. God was raising up a man right here in this family to carry his folk, carry his people a little farther. Amen. He was raising up a man called Samuel. Amen. And it all started because this woman began to pray. This woman began to get humble before God. Now look with me, if you will, in the scriptures, and I'm going to give you three things, and I'm going to be very quick, trying my best to be brief this morning. But I feel like this is what God wants us to see this morning, is a barren mother, a vessel of revival. The only reason, I say one more time,
The only reason that Israel came out of the condition that they are in right here is because that this woman began to be burdened that she had no son, and began to be burdened there, and began to ask God for a son. And when that happened, Samuel came on the scene. Amen. Church, I believe that's where you and I need to get. Amen. We need to get on a place where we're burdened, okay? Burdened for a lost loved one. Burdened for the world. Amen. I do believe we need to get that. Notice with me, if you will, verse 5. The Bible says here, But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Jump down to verse number 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? In other words, what we're seeing right here is she desired a son, okay? She desired some new life. She desired a new being, okay? She desired a new life. I thought about this as I began to look at this. I thought, man, church, that's where we need to be, amen? We need to be the place we would desire spiritually to see new life, amen? The last few weeks, we've had 4 new births. Say glory to God right there. Thank God, I'm glad for those that get saved, amen, and I thank God for that. But you listen to me this morning, I want some more, amen. I want to see more new life. I want to see more birthed into the family of God, amen, and I believe that he can do that. You believe that? Say amen. I believe he can do that, amen. I believe he can still save souls, amen, and he will, amen, if we'll just get humble before God and say, God, I have a desire to see them born again, amen. I want to see that happen. Every one of you in here this morning has looked at me probably at one time or another and said, I've got lost loved ones. I want to see get saved. Well, good time to get in the house of God. Amen. When revival fires are blooming, amen, and flaming up, it's a good time to get folks in the house of God and get them saved. Amen. But as I said Friday night, before we do that, we better have a burden for those souls. Amen. Don't just get them in the house of God and try to say, well, preach will preach to them, they'll get saved. No. Listen, you get burdened for them, okay? You get up here in this altar and wear this carpet out up here for them. You begin to pray for them, okay, before you ever get here. Amen. Listen, I believe God will save them when you do that. Amen. I do believe that. I find in the scriptures here that this woman there, the affliction that she had, she just wanted to see some new life. Amen. She wanted a man child there. And I believe from the depths of my heart that that's the reason that God gave her that man child. And that's the reason that God allowed Samuel, amen, to come on the scene, was because of this woman called Hannah. Amen. Let me give you another one here. I thought about her affliction. Her affliction was she wanted to see a child. She wanted a baby. She wanted a baby boy. Amen. I don't know about you. I want to see some folk born in the family of God around here. Amen. I want to see some more. She was provoked by her adversary. Look there in the scriptures I read to you there. We find that Bible says verse number 6, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret. I thought, boy, that's what the devil will do to you, ain't it? How many of you yesterday, we ended up Friday night, like Brother Marshall said a while ago, man, it was thick in here Friday night. I mean, God moved in, okay? It was thick Thursday night. It was thick Wednesday night, man. God moved in. Say amen right there. Thank God for that. But how many of you just had a hunky-dory day yesterday? Not me, amen. God jumped on my back, I believe, just the moment I left here Friday night. He tried his best to defeat me yesterday. Thank God, I'm glad I can prevail, amen. But you know what he does? He tries his best to hinder you. That's what was happening right here. Listen, this adversary was trying her best to hinder Hannah, trying her best. The devil was using her to try to defeat the army of Israel and to defeat the nation of Israel there, because if Hannah had got to the place where she'd just give up, Samuel wouldn't have come around, amen? And then the revival wouldn't have come around, amen? Listen, she tried her best to stop her, amen? Church, you listen to me very closely. Yesterday and today, both. And even at your job, probably tomorrow, the devil is going to try to defeat you, okay? Especially, you listen to me, I'm not a prophet or anything, but I'm going to predict something right here, okay? About 4:30, 5 o'clock tomorrow evening, you're fixing to have a battle. Amen. Preacher, what is that battle? It'll be something trying to keep you out of revival, okay? It'll be something that happens tomorrow during the day that'll try to keep you from having revival, amen? It may even start when we leave the church this morning, amen? It may even start anywhere, but there's an adversary out there that wants to defeat this revival, amen? What are you going to do? I'm going to keep on going, amen? I don't know about you, but I'm going to keep on going. Listen, there's an adversary there. Her affliction was that she wanted to see that birth of that little boy and that birth of that man child. But she knew she had that adversary there. Oh, that's the affliction that we bear today. I don't know about you, church. I feel like that's where I'm at today, okay? I feel like I want to see God move in our church. I want to see the power of God move. I want to see more birthed into the family of God. The old devil's trying his best to defeat us. He's trying his best to stop us. I ain't going to let it happen, amen? Would you agree with me there and say we ain't going to let it happen? Amen. Let's just go on for God. Amen. Let's just get humble before God. Let Him work. Amen. I thought about Hannah, a barren mother, but a vessel of revival. She's being used as a vessel of that revival, if you will, to bring Samuel into the world that he can turn Israel around and face them towards God's again. Let me give you number two. I thought about not only her affliction, the things that she was going through here. But I thought about this, and I like it's pretty good. Her associates. She ain't by herself. I want to say, glory to God, I'm glad I ain't by myself today. Church, you'll never know what it does to this pastor Friday night, or Thursday night and Friday night both, to get up here and call, and like Brother Davey said, call for a spontaneous revival. Just come up on a Wednesday night. Say, hey, we're going to meet back here. We're going to have revival Friday night. And for me to walk in and see the church house full, I could run to Marion and back. Amen. I could run probably to Asheville and back. Amen. Thank God to see that. And I want to thank you for that. Praise God for that. Glad I ain't alone. Amen. Hannah wasn't alone. You say, preacher, what do you mean she wasn't alone? She has provoked her adversaries, trying to defeat her, trying to get her to fret. I'm going to tell you, a man called her husband. She had a husband, amen. She had a godly husband that would help her. Notice with me in the scriptures, verse number 5, I believe it is. Bible says here in verse number 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, which means a double portion there. He says, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. We find over there in the scriptures also a little farther over there, verse 23, that he says there, and Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. So we find that her husband there, I guess you'd say, is very supportive. Amen. I don't know about you, but I appreciate my wife. I love my wife. Husbands, you ought to love your wives. Amen. Bible says, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Amen. Women, I'm going to give you a little bit of day off, okay? I might be preaching to the men today, amen? Listen, we ought to take care of our wives, amen? I believe that. I believe the Bible says that we ought to support them. We ought to lift them up. The Bible says for us to treat them and look at them with respect and look at them as the weaker vessel, that we should help them and encourage them and build them up, amen? Agree with me, say amen. I believe that. I want to say tonight or today, I want to say this, I love my wife. I love my mom. I love these women. I do. I appreciate each one of them mothers. Thank God for that. Amen. But I want you to understand today, whenever we're in the service of the Lord, we're not alone. Amen. I'm glad I'm not alone. I'm glad I'm not alone in this thing. My wife sees me when I'm up. She sees me when I'm down. She sees me when I'm having a hard time. She sees me when I'm burdened down. Amen. She looked at me last night as she left, as she went to bed, and I was up studying. She said, I'll see you in the morning. And I thought, wow, what a statement there. I'll see you in the morning. And you know what that said to me? I'm going to be praying for you. I know you're studying. I know you're digging in the Word of God, but I'm going to be praying for you. Amen. I say glory to God for her. Amen. I heard a preacher say this one time, behind find ever a good pastor, there's a good pastor's wife. Amen. I better agree with that. Amen. Listen, I'm glad I ain't on in this thing alone. Amen. And you're not either. Amen. You're not alone. Amen. Thank God for a spouse. Amen. That'll help us, encourage us. Amen. Women, you ought to thank God for your spouse. Amen. You ought to thank God for your husband. Husband, you ought to thank God for your wife. Amen. But I'm glad we ain't in this thing alone. Amen. Oh, listen, this revival, when we came back Thursday night, Friday night, there's a group of people here, boy, I'm telling you, boy, that crowd, thank God for that. We ain't in this alone. We all want to see God move. We all want to see God save souls. Amen. We want to see that happen in the church. Amen. We're not in this alone, okay? I just feel like we need to say that. Her associates, she wasn't alone. She had her husband. Amen. Number two, I thought about not only her husband, but she had, listen, a supportive priest. She had a supportive priest. Just read on over a couple of verses there. I believe it's about verse number 8-9 there, if you'll let me read it. I believe it is. About verse number 8-9. Look at verse number 9. So Hannah rose up early after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, saying, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt, look on the affliction of thy handmaiden and remember me, and not forget thine handmaiden, but wilt give unto thine handmaiden a man-child, then I will give unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Notice verse number 12. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Eli thought she is crazy, okay, thought she is drunken. He says, now, Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Elias thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count thine handmaiden for a daughter, count not thy handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying right here's another associate, okay? Whenever Eli realized she wasn't drunken, what'd he do? He began to support her. Amen. He began to help her and said there, I believe what he's saying in essence is, I'm going to pray with you. Amen. He said, I pray God give you that petition. Amen. Church, I want you to know, I want revival as bad as you do. Amen. And me as your pastor this morning, I want revival. Amen. And I know you do too. And I'm going to pray God send you revival. Amen. I'm going to pray God blesses you so much you can't stand yourself. Amen. I'm looking for God to do great things around here. Amen. Some of you that's been quiet for about 6-7 years while I've been here, I'm praying God's going to get on you so bad you're going to be a shouting for long. I want to hear you say amen. I don't see you raise your hand. Amen. I don't see you run down the aisle. I've been praying, asking God to do great miracles in our church. Amen. I want you to know I'm supporting you as your pastor, and I'm lifting you up, trying to God, asking God to send us revival. We're not in this thing together, okay? We have each other. Amen. We have the preacher. We have each other. Thank God. Let's just have revival. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad we can have revival. Her affliction. Her associates. But then I'm going to give you number three, and I'll close with this. I'll give you a few things in this, and then we'll close. I thought about her actions. I thought about where she's at and her actions. What did she do? Now, she had some choices here to make. She had an affliction. Boy, she was burdened. Her womb was closed. She had no child. I'm telling you, she got to desiring that child. She wanted it so bad. So she just went on back home, sat in the corner. Is that what the Bible says? No. That's what the Bible says. She was so burdened and so troubled and everything, she got up and went to Walmart. Is that what it said? No, God help you if you did. Say amen. No. I could go on and give you example after example, but I'm going to give you about 4 or 5 things here that I believe that she did is the reason that God used her as a vessel of revival. Now, I said the statement, I made the statement with my title, I'm trying my best to hurry, with the title, listen, a barren mother. Does anybody find that statement crazy? Huh? Thank you, sis, appreciate that. I was fixing this, took the words out of my mouth, thank God. An oxymoron. It makes no sense. Amen. A barren mother. But she's barren at one time, and then when she begins to cry out to God, it ain't long as she's got a son. And not only has she got a son, but she's got one that's going to be a leader in Israel. Not only is he going to be a leader in Israel, he's going to be the one that's going to anoint the next king. Amen. Not only is he going to be the one that anoints the next king, but listen, he's going to be the one that anoints the king of David, which in the lineage is Jesus Christ, which is my redeemer. Amen. Thank God for a vessel of revival. Amen. But yet it all started from a barren mother back here, a lady that could not have children, but she got humble before God. Amen. Let me show you about four things here, and I'll go. We'll go. Look with me, if you will, verse number 7. Verse number 7, chapter 1. Notice this. The Bible says, and as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. I found a couple things here. Number one, she wept. She wept. I'm going to ask you a question right here very quickly. Listen to me. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want you to be honest with yourself and do some self-examination right here, okay? So listen to me. How many tears have you shed for this revival? I want it to sink in. How many tears have you shed for this revival? I think sometimes when we're thinking about revival, we'll come up, we'll get down, Lord, send us revival. And we're right back. But how many tears have we shed? How many hearts have been broken? How many times have we got down so humble and said, God, we need revival. Our nation has turned upside down. Our land has turned upside down. Our land is, we know folk that are headed for a place called hell. We need revival. How many of us has shed tears because of that? I wonder, I'll ask a question, I'll even go a little farther. How long has it been since you shed tears even in your prayers? I think a lot of times we say these now lay me down to sleep prayers and just go on, amen? You remember the story I used to tell, I told a while back. The fellow said one time he'd get down and he'd pray. And he got to where he prayed at night before he went to bed, and he'd pray the same thing over and over and over again. Well, finally, he just wrote it down, posted it on his wall there, started to lay down, said, there it is, Lord. Huh? I believe that's the way we do a lot of times. Huh? Let's examine ourselves this morning and ask ourselves the question, how many have shed tears to see this revival? If we want to see a good old-fashioned revival that Brother Ron McKinney is talking about the other night that went for so many weeks and so many people got saved, if we want to see a great revival like they used to have before, we're going to have to do some weeping, church. Amen. We're going to have to do some weeping and some crying. I'm reminded of David there when he came back, I believe he's back to Gilgal there. And boy, the women is taken away, the children are taken away. And the Bible says that he began to weep and he wept until he could not weep anymore. He didn't have no more power to weep. I believe it's time we shed some tears for a revival. Amen. The only way this woman, listen to me very closely. The only way this woman was able to bear a person that would lead Israel into revival was she began to weep. She began to get humble. She began to be down in despair in her heart. And she began to weep and want that man child, want that vessel there. Listen, she was becoming a vessel of revival. I believe the Lord weeps. Amen. I believe we'll weep. We say, amen, or owe me one. I believe it's the truth. I seen this morning. God gave me this. And I thought, wow, she got down and she began to shed tears because she wanted it so bad. She wanted that man child so bad. Would to God we'd get to the place that we want revival so bad that we'd be crying and saying, oh, God, I want it. Oh, God, I want it. Please give it to us. Can we have that in our hearts? I believe we can. Amen. I believe we ought to get to the place that we should weep for that revival. For this revival, I told you Friday night as we left, I said this. I'm going to try my best to pray and ask God how far He wants us to go with this revival. But church, I'm just being totally honest with you, and I'm preaching my heart this morning. I believe God will lead me where He wants me to go and how long He wants us to go, okay? But I do believe this from the depth of my heart. I believe that length depends on you. I believe that length depends on how bad we want revival and what we want to see in this revival. I'm not interested in 5 meetings, okay? I'm not interested in a series of meetings. I'm interested in a revival that changes lives, changes hearts, changes people, amen? That's what we need to see, amen? And in order to have that, we must begin to weep. I believe that. Not only do we have to weep, but I believe verse number 10 there, if you find there, I'll get back to this other verse here in just a minute. Bible says there, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Bitterness of soul. Again, I want to say one more time, I've had people come to me and ask me, say, preacher, pray for my son, my daughter, my grandson, my granddaughter, pray for these, they're lost. And I want to ask us this morning, how many of us has got to the point that we have wept bitterly? We've got to this place of anguish for them. We realize they are dying and going to hell. And we want this week. I wish we'd tear stain the carpets, church. I've said this so many times. If you'll wear this carpet out right here, this space right here, if you'll wear this carpet out in the church, I'll replace it with my own money, okay? I'll buy it and I'll replace it. Wear it out. You know where a lot of times the most wore out carpet in the church is? It's right down the aisle and right back there at the door. And if it ain't back yard at the door, it's back yard at the bathrooms. Amen. That's where the carpets wore out. Would to God we'd wear the carpet out in the altar, a praying, a tear staining the carpets, asking God to move. Listen, you say, preacher, I can't believe you're preaching this after the meetings that we had, after the 3 meetings. I want it to go farther, okay? I believe that's what God's burdened my heart with this morning, is I don't want it to stop here. I want to see it change lives. I want to see it go even farther. And if it happens, we're going to have to do some weeping. We're going to have to get broken in our soul, broken in our heart, and to see that happen. I ain't talking about an lay me down to sleep prayer. I'm talking about just getting a hold of God and weeping. Amen. Not only did she weep, but according to verse number 8 there, I believe it is, excuse me, verse number 7, the Bible says, and did not eat. There's some fasting going on. Now I've got close to meddling, say amen. Fasting going on. How many of you could do without a meal? Well, Marshall's the only one that's honest with you. How many of us could do without a meal? Every one of us. Every one of us. Is that soul you've been praying for? Those young'uns, those grand young'uns you've been praying for, are they worth you missing one meal? And taking that time and getting along with God? Would it be worth it to take one meal out of the day? And it don't matter if it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner. It does not matter. Take that time and get down and say, Lord, my young'uns is dying and going to hell. My grand youngest is dying, going to hell. My nation is turned upside down. My land's turned upside down. My home has turned upside down. I need your help. There needs to be some fasting going on. You remember the scripture over there when Jesus came back down off the Mount Transfiguration there, came down to the bottom there, and boy, his disciples that was left there, they couldn't cast out the demon. And he told them there, they asked him, said, why couldn't we do this? He said, it all comes by prayer and fasting. Amen. It's all by praying and by fasting. Amen. That's how this is done. Listen, if we're going to have revival, it's going to take some fasting. Amen. It's going to take some getting along with God. It's going to take some doing without some things. Amen. I had somebody a while back, and I ain't going to mention no name, but it's back when I pastored up yonder at Hefner's. We was having revival one night, and I don't know if this kidding or not, Brother Mike, I'll just be honest with you, I don't know, kind of bothered me in a way, either way it was. But they said we was having revival, and they said, well, I can't come that night, so I'm going to miss that TV program. I said, God help. God help. Our nation, folks going to hell for eternity. And we're more about a TV program than we are come to the house of God getting revived. Our sons and our daughters and our grandsons and granddaughters going to hell. We're worried more about a TV program. More about what's going on out there. More about knocking a ball over a fence. More worried about this, that, and the other than we are worried about our children dying and going to hell for eternity. Amen. I believe it's time that we begin to fast. Amen. I believe it's time we begin to get humble before God. Amen. I believe it's time we have revival. And if we're going to have revival, maybe I need to be the vessel. Maybe I need to be the one to get burdened. Maybe I need to be the one. I believe I am. Amen. I believe you are. I believe we're the ones that needs to be burdened and needs to be fasting and weeping for that. Number 3, I'll move on quickly. She began to pray. She began to pray. Boy, notice with me in the scriptures there that I read to you there. She prayed to God. Notice verse number 10. Verse number 10, the Bible says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She didn't go to her husband. She didn't go to her mom or daddy. She didn't go to nobody. She went to the Lord. She didn't even go to Eli the priest. Thank you, Lord, for the thought. She didn't even go to Eli the priest. You know what she could have done? She could have went to Eli the priest and said, hey, will you pray for me that I'll have a son? Will you pray for me that the Lord will open my womb and I can have a child? Will you pray for me? She didn't do that, did she? She went straight to the Lord. I love asking people. They'll come to me, and I'm glad you do. I'll help you pray anytime. Preacher, pray for this and pray for that one. And I love to look at them and say, have you prayed for them? How many of them will go, I don't mean to be bad, be mean, but if you ain't prayed for them yet, don't come ask me to pray for them. Amen. If you ain't going to pray for them, if you ain't going to take the time to weep over them, you ain't going to take the time to fast over them, hey, don't come ask the preacher to do it, okay? It ain't the preacher's job. Amen. Amen. It's everybody's job. I will help you pray. Amen. And if you come ask me to, I will help you pray. To the best of my ability, I will. But you need to pray before. Amen. Pray to God. Ask Him. Who can send revival this morning? It's Him. It's Him. He's the only one that can. We got to pray this morning. We got to pray. We got to weep. Listen, we got to fast. But then I thought about this, verse number 11. She made a vow. She made a vow. Did you get that? And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and forget and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She made a vow to the Lord. I would to God this morning, church, that we would make a vow unto the Lord. That we get to a place this morning that we would vow to the Lord that, Lord, if you will send us revival, we'll give you glory. We'll give it back to you. Years ago, when God called me to preach, I'm trying my best to close here. When He called me to preach, I said, Lord, I'll try my best. If all you will. And everything I have will be yours. I'll try my best. Everything I can get. I ain't bragging to me. I'm bragging on God, okay? We need to give everything we have back to Him. Bible says we are not our own anymore. We're bought with a price. It's Him. We ought to vow a vow this morning. God, I want to see you move. I want to see you give us the greatest revival that's ever been in Pentecostal Baptist Church or ever been in any church in Mount Dow County. And if you will do that, we'll give you glory. We'll give you honor. You know the sad part about it is, listen to me very closely, we ain't got nothing to give to God. We don't. The only thing I can give Him is give Him glory. Give Him praise. Give Him honor. That's all we can do. I believe we ought to do that. We ought to vow this morning that God will give you all the glory and all the honor. She made a vow. Last thing, she followed through. She followed through with that vow. If you find in scriptures over there, the Bible says that she, when the babe was weaned, when the child was weaned, the Bible says in verse number 24 there, excuse me, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord for this child. I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. She followed through. Don't make a vow if you ain't going to follow through. But if God gives you that, let's follow through. Amen? Let's follow through that. Chapter number 2, verse 10, or verse number 1, I'll give you this and I'm done. She prayed and sung a song. And I'm just going to read the first verse. You can read this when you go home. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. I could go on and on. We'd spend two more hours right there, okay? Two more hours in that. But the thought is this. She began to praise the Lord for what he had done. Now, I find a contrast here. The Bible says in back over in chapter 1 there, when she began to pray, she began to make that vow, that her mouth moved. And she prayed within her heart. And that's the reason Eli thought she was drunk. But I don't find that in chapter 2. When she began to sing that song, she began to pray. Then the Bible says she prayed, said thus. I believe it was audibly, okay? I believe it was aloud. Amen. She wasn't, listen, she wasn't quiet about it. She said, the Lord has given me a son. Amen. The Lord has given me salvation. The Lord has done it, okay? I believe we need to follow through, and that's what we need to do. When God moves in, God blesses us. Amen. We'll tell everybody we see. Amen. We'll tell everybody we see. Listen, a barren mother, a vessel of revival. God, give me this morning as I woke up very early and I began to study this and I thought, Lord, that's, I'm going to be honest with you, I about jumped out of my skin. I thought, man, that's what we need this morning. That's what I need this morning. He's giving me these thoughts. Man, I thought, this is what I need this morning. Moving right in through, right into revival. That if we're going to have revival, I'm going to have to be the vessel. You're going to have to be the vessel. Oh, listen, we need to get humble before God and just say, Lord, I want revival. We beg God for this. But we've got to realize the need for that revival. We've got to realize the affliction. We've got to get to that place where we see that there is a need for that revival. Again, I know the last three nights have been totally awesome. And that's the only way I can put it. Me and Brother Jim have been talking. He comes out, he looked at me and say, wow. I agree with you, brother. That's the only way I can describe it. Just wow, how good it's been, okay? But I believe it can get better. I believe it can get greater. I do. I believe that. Would you be a willing vessel this morning? Would you be a vessel of revival? Would you be that barren mother, maybe, that would be a vessel of revival? I believe there's a need for it. Would you be that? Let's stand to your feet this morning. I've tried to mind the Lord. I know I've been a little lengthy this morning, but I just minded the Lord.